The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
1 Corinthians 15 is called the Resurrection Chapter. And today on Grace in Focus, we think about what are the benefits of the resurrection for believers. For instance, how does it relate to discipleship and sanctification? Thank you for joining us today, friend. Grace in Focus is a radio ministry and a podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We have a website, faithalone.org. You can learn a lot about us there. We have many articles that you can read and a store. And we'd also love for you to subscribe to our free magazine. It is published bi-monthly, 6 times a year. And I think I mentioned it's free. And free does mean free, except if you live outside of the 48 contiguous United States, you do have to pay the postage. You will love the magazine. It is full size and the articles are great. And you just have to ask for it. Do so at faithalone.org. And now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
Today's a special day.
It is.
You all don't know this, so we'll just tell you. We're recording this on Easter, and in our church service this morning, we were dealing with the death and resurrection of the Lord, which you would expect on Easter. We had a long discussion about the significance of it, and we thought it'd be a good idea to do a little podcast on it. So why don't you, Catherine, tell us basically the issue we were talking about?
Sure. As we look at the Lord's death and resurrection today and hopefully year round, so much, rightfully so, is when we're talking about it, we emphasize what the benefits of his death and resurrection are for us when we think about our future and the resurrection of our own bodies. And for those of us that have loved ones that are gone, as we look forward to the resurrection of the church and then the Old Testament saints and others, that we look forward to the kingdom and all that is in our future. And so as we obviously celebrate his resurrection, he's the first of many. And so we are longing for the day when we all either receive our glorified bodies in a twinkling of an eye, or as they're being transformed or resurrected.
And let me just say something, you know, with the death, the death of Christ, he took away the barrier for sin.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that, why? So he could give us eternal life.
That's right.
Because he rose,
we'll rise. That's right.
1 Corinthians 15, Paul has a long chapter on that. He rose, so we're going to rise.
That's right.
I think most of our listeners would agree that that's kind of the focus.
Yeah, the foundation for our salvation.
From hell.
From hell.
Right. And that because of what he did, we're going to live forever with him.
That's right. And all of that's true.
Yeah.
100%. And we proclaim that here at GES. And we also talked about the benefits of his death and resurrection as it applies to our sanctification as well.
Or we would say the benefits of his death and resurrection for us now.
Correct.
I don't have to wait till the Lord comes back. His death and resurrection has unbelievable benefits.
Very practical daily benefits to every believer here and now. And I guess why it's so near and dear to us is that this is so often missed, that so much of the scriptures are talking about discipleship truths and sanctification truths and so many of the blessings that the Lord has given us for our benefit here and now. And yet, sadly, so much of what has happened in the church today is that we see the Bible is just very singular in that it's all about just getting to heaven. But what we're arguing is that, yes, obviously, we those who believe in Jesus have eternal life and they will be in the kingdom to come. But there's more to the scriptures than that.
Yeah. And most people in churches today think that the Bible is just simply telling us how to get to heaven.
Exactly.
And that explains, for example, lordship people. They take all these passages on discipleship and they go, well, that's just letting you know if you're really saved
that's
or
right.
not. That's just letting you know you can test yourself to see if you're going to be in the kingdom or not.
Or for the Arminian, just to maintain your salvation.
Right, or you'll lose it.
Or you'll lose it, that's right.
And the only thing the Bible has to say to us, according to these systems of theology, I mean, even the Catholic theology,
that's right?
We go to the church to find these graces so that hopefully we can make it into the kingdom eventually, right?
Right.
But of course, at Grace Evangelical Society, we disagree with that. We say that most of the New Testament deals with, as Catherine said, sanctification, Christian living.
Christian growth.
When we, in our church today, as we were thinking about Easter and what was going on Easter, we went to a passage that deals with Jesus's death and resurrection. And even here, most would say, oh, well, this is just talking about going to heaven. But it's clear that that's not what's going on.
Yeah.
And the verses that we looked at in Romans chapter 5.
This is a hinge passage.
A turning point in the book of Romans where Paul starts talking about Christian living. And I'm just going to focus on verse 9 and 10.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
In verses 9 and 10, Paul says this, much more than, notice, much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, there's a classic example there. What would most people say when they go, we've been justified by his blood?
Going to heaven.
Going to heaven. God saved me, forgave me of all my sins. By his blood, I have been made righteous. And then in the last part of that verse, we will be saved from wrath through him. Well, once again, hell. Hell is wrath. We're going to be saved from wrath. So on the cross, he paid for all my sins. Therefore, he saved me from hell. That's what it means to be justified. And I will be saved from the wrath of the lake of fire because of him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Reconciled to God means I'm saved from hell. Through the death of his son. So his son saved me from hell. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And once again, people would say, well, because Jesus rose from the dead, I'm going to rise from the dead. So he's alive, I'm going to be alive. And they take all these words, reconciled, justified, saved from wrath. All these are taken to mean saved from hell. And so Paul's just repeating himself.
Seems to be a common theme.
Yeah. What we talked about in church today, we just want to share with you, is we celebrate Easter. And I don't know when you all will be listening to this, but when you think back on Easter, however many weeks it is, that Paul's not talking about going to heaven in these verses. That it's talking about Christian living.
It's something much more.
Much more. What does Christ's death and resurrection mean to me now? That's, I mean, this is profound if we see it here, if this is correct. And as we remember his death and resurrection, what does it mean for me Christian living? If I could just summarize it, here's what I would say. In verse 9, we were justified by his blood. The word justified there means declared righteous. As a believer, I have been declared righteous. My faith was counted as righteousness. Before I was a believer, I was his enemy. I was under the wrath of God. But now as a believer, right now, I have been justified. Now I want to ask you something. We didn't talk about this in church. This may seem too radical for some people. But I was thinking just to myself, in the kingdom, I don't think it'll be proper for us to say, I am justified. Is that too far out in this sense? Right now, I have been declared righteous because I'm in this body of flesh. I need to be declared righteous because in verse 2, he says, because I have been declared righteous, I have access to God.
Right.
Well, in the kingdom, I'm going to be in a glorified body and I'll no longer have the flesh. I'm not going to need to be justified. That may be too weird, but my point is, whether that's true or not, this part is true. Being justified is something, is a blessing and a benefit that I have right now. Because God has declared me righteous because of my faith, I have access to him. communion with him is a possibility for me. It is mine. That is who I am. And I'm always going to be declared righteous in this life. Okay? And that is what his death did for me. Because Christ died for me, he took away the barrier of sin, and God can declare me righteous. He paid for all my sins on the cross. He can declare me righteous when I come to faith. And my faith is counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And I have access to him. And then it says, having been justified, we shall be saved from his wrath through him. Before I became a believer, I experienced the wrath of God because of the sin in my life. But now that I've been declared righteous and I have access to him and he lives within me, I now can live a life where I don't experience the wrath of God. And then in the next verse, he pretty much says the same thing. We have now been reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I wonder if those phrases are really appropriate for the kingdom, where I will be reconciled.
Yeah, when you mentioned that before, it reminds me at the end of chapter 7, right, when he cries out about this being in this body of death.
That's right.
That won't be applicable for the glorified saint.
Who's going to deliver me from this body of death?
Right.
I've been justified. That terminology I don't think we're going to use. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know. I just was thinking about that today. But he does say in verse 10 here, that we shall be saved by his life. When Christ rose from the dead, he sent me his spirit. He lives with me through his spirit. His life is in me. Mm-hmm. I no longer have to serve sin. I have been declared righteous. I have access to him. These are all things that Paul is describing what the death and resurrection of the Lord means for me right now as a believer in this life.
Yeah, even there he says much more again.
Right.
Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So salvation here is the salvation for the believer.
Yeah.
Who's already been given eternal life, already been declared justified, and now can walk with him, as he's going to say later in the book, that this is done through his resurrection power.
That's right. Yeah. When Christ rose from the dead, he sent me his spirit. He lives within me. Mm-hmm. That's his life. As you think about the death and resurrection of the Lord, certainly it makes eternal life possible, but much more, as Paul says, his death and resurrection has wonderful truths that are applicable for us here and now as we wait for his soon return.
I think that for all eternity, we're going to find out more and more of what his death and resurrection truly accomplished.
Amen. Not just, I'm going to be in heaven forever. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we thank you for joining us today and this week on Grace in Focus. And we invite you to come back next week for more questions and answers. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.